Hey guys, it's your girl Didi and you're tuned into the Called Out podcast where it's all things pertaining to Christ. So today we're going to be talking about being young in Christ, like what it's like giving your life to Christ at a young age. So yeah, I'm with my guest. If you guys can introduce yourself.
I'm Nicole.
I'm John.
And I'm Jeffrey. Oh, you lot are fine.
It was cringe. We're just going to open up in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to minister to these people who are watching, who are listening. Oh Lord, we just want to pray that you will grant us utterance. Amen. That you will indeed speak for us, oh God. Amen. May this episode indeed be spirit-led, oh Heavenly Amen. Father, Lord. May it edify those who are watching and maybe young, oh Heavenly Father, they Amen. May be struggling Amen. To actually be fully dedicated to you, oh Heavenly Father, that today, Father, Lord, from today, that chain will be broken, oh Heavenly Amen. Father. Amen. Indeed, oh God, may it says that the Spirit entered me when you spoke to me and set me on my feet. As we speak today, Father, Lord, may the Spirit enter someone and Amen. Set them on their feet, oh Amen. Heavenly Father, to fully live for you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen. All right, guys. So obviously today's episode is all about being a young Christian, addressing the elephant in the room, because giving your life to Christ at a young age, many times when I go out, like, and I go out to like preach the gospel and I tell you about Christ, many people's main thing is, no, I'm not ready yet because I can't leave this behind. I can't do this. Like, no, I'm doing this mad stuff. So people actually restrict themselves from coming to Christ because they feel like, no, I can't leave this behind. No, but I want to smoke. I want to drink. Let's like talk about obviously leaving stuff behind. Like even with you guys, like, how long like did it take you? Obviously it's different for everyone. So how long did it take you guys like to fully just be like, you know what, Christ, I'm just for you.
Romans chapter 7 verse 21. Like even verse 15, it says the things I will to do. I genuinely wanted Christ, but I was like, nah, man, like, I need to make money or nah, like, hi. I need to do this. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's like, but it's like, it doesn't mean anything. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, vanity. You can't take your money with you. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
And you're perishing.
So yeah, like, it took me a couple years to realize, like, you know what, like.
Yeah, let me leave this.
Let me just.
It's true, because it's a process. Like, yeah, genuinely, process. Like, God actually has to work in you, enabling you.
It was probably 2022, June 4th. Fast, because we're there every day.
Yeah,
because I was 16. I mean, it took a while. Like, I'll be real. Like, I had just finished year 11. Like, it was time to live the life. After lockdown is when it got like serious. Like during lockdown, it was serious already because like it's lockdown and it's like true worshippers got to step out now.
Lockdown. I thought that was Jesus was coming soon.
I'm not gonna lie. Lockdown was like, it was like, that's a test of your faith. I'll be real.
I was even saying to, sorry, before you go on, I was even saying to John, like, during this season, I was thinking, right, like, when I actually first came to church, I just came to like sit down and hear the word
of God every day. Yeah. It's very true. Can't remember. Now I didn't serving, praying every day. Like, you would, and yes, that's the beauty of it, because you come to Christ at a young age, you just think, like, hello, like, okay, cool, yeah, I'm going to come to Christ.
Yeah,
I just come to church,
still,
like, yeah, I'm still going to do that thing, trust me. I'm not going to be praying for you. I'm not going to go out and evangelize. I'm not doing that. But that's because it's you. Like, you think that I'm not going to do that. But it's when Christ arrests you, he arrests you, he grabs you. So that's why, you know, we're talking about like you being afraid to come to Christ at a young age because you think, okay, no, but I want to still do this. I want to still do that. Yeah, some people, you will still do it. 6 months in, you're still fornicating yourself. But it's a process that you will actually allow Christ so much that you love Christ so much that it says that love for Christ constrains me, like it compels me also. So it actually restricts you, it will stop you from doing things. It's like when you're, so now, yeah, you may be going to the club still or fornicating, you're going to the club. You may be going there, but you're crying afterwards. You're crying, you're not feeling that satisfaction that you used to feel. And that's the seed of Christ working in you. So it's like coming to Christ at a young age is actually a blessing. So why do you feel like people avoid coming to Christ like at a young age?
I think for one, like even when you speak to people and you evangelize and have like had conversations with people like in my workplace, etc., I think one of the main things is just want, like they think you have to be perfect. And I think that's the main thing. And when like, so that's why more time when I like I'm evangelizing, I always say like, you don't have to be perfect, it's a process. You don't actually, like genuinely, you don't have to be perfect at all. I'm not gonna lie, you can be perfect and it's like you're so perfect, but it's like you don't have a relationship with God. What does the perfect mean?
Don't be Pharisee.
It's not necessarily about exactly what you are doing and what you're stopping.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Literally Pharisees, like genuinely, you're not that's not what we're here for. Do you know what I mean? It's genuinely about having a relationship, and it's easier said than done for sure. But that's one thing about it, genuinely, is actually this: the Christian journey is genuinely one of the hardest things you can do in life. Like, I'm not joking. It's so hard.
Right. But it's hard, crap.
I think that's one thing though, because when I speak to people, that's actually what they say. Like, I don't want to stop what I'm doing, or I don't think I can stop what I'm doing. But once you say, I don't think
you.
I can,
it's but not, yeah, it's that's not when you understand. That's when you don't understand.
It's not
you.
Yeah, genuinely, it's not you anymore. Like, you have to enable the Holy Spirit to work within you. Like,
amen.
Christ in you that enables you to want to do. Genuinely, it's literally that's it. Do you know what I mean? So I think being perfect.
I think if we're being real, we could go on like around being around the bush, but it's actually things that. The real things, it's like things like chasing money, chasing girls or boys for you lot standpoint, or like just enjoying. I'm saying from the world, bro. Like, so yeah, it's just things like that, like, or just partying, like your friends outside. There's things that will actually stop you from seeking God. Like, the world outside, it's actually. It's nice.
Okay, let's actually be real.
That's not a sin, you know. Like, going to parties and all that. It's not a sin. But it doesn't help you grow in Christ.
That's what will stunt you. Because you're thinking like, okay, you don't want to miss out on this. FOMO is missing out.
Me, I have FOMO, crap.
Like, you're used to going to parties or to speaking to this person or to making this much a week or what, like.
Chai! Lord have mercy.
Like, when you come to Christ, you're thinking, raw, like, that means I'm not making... You're calculating. You're trying to calculate it for yourself.
Yeah. It's
not you. Like, just let God take the role. Like,
do you get it?
If that means you have to go through a dry season.
You go, bro.
Speaking about dry seasons, let's just take it back to June 1st, 2022. We used to go together, innit? And I was just like, where did I come? Like, genuinely, I'm thinking, the word is actually banging me. Like, I don't know what's going on. John was talking about chasing money, blah, 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 this and that. But like, when you chase money, that means your sight is off Christ. Yeah. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So then I was just like, oh, okay, cool. What's the next thing? There's no problem you wanting more, but it's like, it being excessive, that's when it becomes an issue. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But to add to the point where you were asking about what holds people back from giving their life to Christ from a young age, I think the fundamental, you touched on it as well, the fundamental is education. I think a lot of people lack, and even some Christians actually, because I've spoken to Christians and they said they're not born again, but how, it's like you saying you play for a team, but you don't want to play. Like, do you get what I'm trying to say? It's like,
it's a conundrum.
Yeah, it don't make sense. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Because the whole point of you being a Christian is a Christ follower, and he literally told us, unless you're born again, you cannot go into heaven. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
That's what the church resent matters.
Yeah, do you get what I mean? So it's like, my thing is education. People lack education in terms of like understanding what being born again means. It's not a reincarnation. Yeah. You don't turn into something else. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's literally like the circumcision of your heart, and you believe in that cutting Christ is your Lord and personal savior, and you're gonna in Him there's eternal life. Do you get what I mean? That's literally your belief. Mm. That's what makes Christianity different to a lot of
every other
religion, because it's actually you don't see anything. We're just basing it off belief, and that's one of the hardest things. That's why a lot of people struggle. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So I'm saying like a lack of education, because I've spoken to guys and they will feel like they have to be perfect after, or they have to. It's not even necessarily perfect, but they feel like it's gonna be too much. Like, I have to be abiding by the Ten Commandments. I have to be doing this strict. But it's not about that. Yeah. After you're born again, I use the analogy when I speak to people on the road. It's like not all of my analogies will be football related. And it's like you playing you wouldn't put a 10-year-old to play with men in the Premier League. Do you get what I mean? You'll be taking through the youth system. He'll be training. He'll be getting better. It's the same with your walk. You're not going to be a pro straight away. You're actually going to, you have to build yourself.
It's like a baby. Bro, learning do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, that's one thing I would say. Like, holds a lot of people back.
Definitely. Because many people do have that perception of, okay, when I come to Christ, I'm going to come when I'm ready. When I'm ready to stop the weed, when I'm ready to stop the party, when I'm ready to loud, when I'm ready to stop the girls, like, I'm ready to stop. But what does it mean to be ready to stop those things? You have flesh. Why would you be? It's not about being ready to stop those things. Like, God forbid today, if I didn't read my Bible in 3 weeks, me too, I would be looking like someone, you know, in the world. Yeah, I mean, because it's not that I was ready to let it go. Like, it's just Christ. Like, He's just in me so much that I cannot do those things. So
even going off what you said, it's actually like when you're pursuing Him, like,
yep.
naturally these things will stop. It won't be a thing for you anymore. Like, you just let it go naturally. Not a thing where it's like, oh, I'm actually saying, okay, let me stop this.
Yeah, let me stop.
Like,
no.
As you're pursuing like certain things, you're not, like, let's say you're on a road, a long road, you can see the distance, Jesus is there. Like, there's certain turns that you might go, it could be the wrong turn. Like, in that sense, like, there's certain things that you could go and you want to do, but when you're actually just pursuing Christ, your focus is on him.
Yeah.
You won't go and do these certain things.
That's what it's about. It's not about, okay, leave this stuff. It's about pursuing Christ and he will change your desires. Yeah. Many people, we actually explain this, but many people still say, no, like, I can't, I'm young, like, I want to live YOLO. But it's not YOLO. My friend, it's appointed to every man to die once after this.
It's hot right now, man. Like, for real, like, it's like, well, we're seeing kids like die for what? Do you get what I'm trying to say? People are actually dying out here.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's upsetting to know that, raw, like, one of my close friends, 2022 April, he actually committed suicide. And this was my guy. Like, I used to speak to him every day. Like, there wouldn't be a day. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, we helped each other through a lot of things. And then why it annoyed me is that during the lockdown, he was very, like, religious. He actually wanted to build a relationship with Christ, innit? Do you get what I mean? But money is what, like, led him to committing that act. Do you get what I mean? Because he lost so much money, blah, blah, blah. But I know for a fact, when we came out of the lockdown, if I told him to come to church, he would have, hands down, came straight away. But that opportunity, so it's like, people are actually dying, like.
Yeah.
And you don't know where you're going to go. But why risk where you're going to go? Then when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Do you get it?
Do you get what I mean? Giving your life to Christ isn't necessarily about you, your works, what you do.
No.
But it's like your insurance policy, basically. Do you get what I mean? It's an insurance policy. Yeah. But don't use that, I give my life to Christ and go to DXB, Dubai, or something. Like, do you get what I mean? I'm not saying that's bad, but it's like, now your next step is like, you know what? You're not going to be perfect, but let me grow.
Christ actually work. It's true. Listen, let's discuss the elephant in the room. When I asked people, what do you want to know about, like, what do you struggle with being young Christ? People said, how do you fight temptation?
Temptation. Come tribulation.
I think building your spirit, man.
What does that mean in layman's terms for you?
It means feeding, like, feeding yourself with the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, First Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, like,
desire it.
Milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And it's like, if you actually think about a baby, it's an analogy of a baby.
Apollos.
Like, you know, when a newborn baby comes, I'm sure we've all seen a newborn baby.
They want milk.
They want milk straight away. And it's like, they cry because they want milk. And that's them being hungry. And it's like, as a newborn baby, that's exactly what it says in the scripture. That's what you have to do. Desire. Yeah. You have to desire. Do you know when babies don't drink milk and they're not feeding, they will end up dying. Genuinely. So that's how it is. If you read it in plain terms, it literally just means, like, keep on eating God's word. And eating God's word mean reading the Bible. Not literally reading it as a storybook or fable, because it's not a story, it's not a fable.
These are real.
Do you know what I mean? It's actually people. It's not just, do you know what I mean? It's like, you actually have to get into the place where you're like, I actually want to, like, study the word. Like, I'm reading it, but I'm taking down notes. I'm trying to link it to another scripture. I'm trying to think, like, what does this mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're actually doing the study. You're not just reading it to read every single day, the chapter of the day we're reading. No. You're reading and you're studying and you're taking it in. Like, you're meditating on the word.
Right.
Like, you're going through it. Like, you're even trying to live it out. Do you know what I mean?
No Bible, no breakfast.
No scripture, no Insta. That's it. Like, I think that's one of the main things. Like, just feeding your spirit, man.
Yeah.
I've genuinely been in a place where I wasn't feeding my spirit, man, and I fell. And it's like, what did you expect not to? Like,
what did you expect?
I can't expect to be
the Lord in your members.
My God,
you can't expect to be confused once you do fall, because it's like, genuinely, it's very true.
Because people will fall and be, why? I can't believe it. How did I do? My friend, you weren't reading your Bible. You weren't reading your Bible. You weren't praying. So what?
And there's more to that as well, not just praying and stuff. You can pray in that, but it's also actually, like, faith without works is dead at the end of the day. So you actually have to attach works with that. So it's like saying, I don't want to do this. Okay, I'm feeding myself, but also putting boundaries in place.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what exact sin cool, but there's a boy that you like, or there's a girl that you like, and it's like, you know that I like this person so much, and you are feeding your spirit, whatever, so it's cool. You're fine on that, on the spiritual aspect. But you see them every day. You see them all the time. You're with them all the time.
In a time of fasting,
you're at service every day with them. Do you know what I mean? It's true. It's reality. Do you know what I mean? And you can get to the point where
Jesus
like,
is my Lord.
Let me put boundaries in place. Like, let me not always be around them. Let me make sure I'm always with someone. Like, this just boundaries you can put. Let's be real. Like, we're not silly. Like, as much as you can say we're young, we're not too young. You're not dumb. Like, genuinely.
After you, Al, because mine's going to be long.
No. Okay, cool. Anyway, so when you said, because the question was about temptation, yeah?
Temptation.
You saying, like, you won't feed your spirit, man, so of course, like, what do you feel?
What do you expect?
1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let he who
thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall.
Can I get off my scripture?
No, I
watched
your movie yesterday. That was came to save
like, these are... And then 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you.
Such as common to man, but yeah. God is faithful.
Sorry, Bible app. Like.
Hey,
yeah, but going down, it says that God always, he makes a way out of the temptation. So it's a thing where the temptation could be there, but there's actually a way out every single time. Yeah. Even when you have fallen, there has been a way out. You just didn't take it. You just didn't take it.
It's very true.
Sorry, because I was just going to say as well, linking to that accountability, I think... that's one of the main things. If you're not accountable to anyone, accountability means like literally like being accountable to someone. So if I want to go out, I'm going to tell Didi, I want to go out today. Like, that's, do you know what I mean? Like, if I've done something, oh, I didn't read my Bible today, I'm being accountable to Didi. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being accountable to
she's gonna do it.
Being accountable, yeah. It's like, that is something, because in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Yeah. Like, today, like, you actually have to understand that you cannot do this alone. Mm-hmm. Genuinely. God is always going to use a man. And the same way that you were lost without Christ, like, someone had to bring you, someone had to preach the gospel to you, God had to use someone, and that's why you are here today. So actually take heed and actually like make use of the things that God has put in place, like, do you know what I mean, like your pastors, your leaders, your etc.
So your friends. Finishing what I was saying. So if we actually look, at verse 12, like, it actually said, who he thinks you might think you're strong.
Yeah.
It's a thing where you think you're strong. You're not strong.
I think I'll go there and it'll be calm. It won't be calm.
It won't be
calm. It's very true. People say, no, it's fine. I'm going to go there because I've prayed.
No, that's not the case. That party, that's Satan's playground. There's something there waiting for that to make you fall. If you used to smoke, why would you go and start turning around smokers? It don't make sense.
It's very true. Yeah, because it's very true. Like, setting boundaries and literally just thinking, like, you think you stand, but it's evident that you know that you don't. Like, we literally have flesh. So why is it that you're putting yourself in that position that you will sin? No, it says flee. Do you know what I mean? Many people say, oh, no, I need to put myself into that position so that I know that I'm, like, strong. You don't have to. Like, it's actually fine. Okay,
read the question again, please, because I want to make sure my...
How do you fight temptation?
Okay, cool.
So, even before you go, I promise you, this is not going to... Even in Romans 7, it speaks about there should be a law in your members.
Wretched man
that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?
If you think of a law, think about the law of gravity. There's something, I'll go to the after. Go ahead.
Sorry, physicist.
No, I'm going to say that. The law of gravity is something that's holding you down. Like, it's here. Even though you don't know, you might not be able to sense it. It's here. Why we're our feet on the ground right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's a law. That's the same way there's a law in your members. It's a law that actually causes you to sin.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, there's also what's the other law?
Spirit of life.
Yeah, that actually helps us. So that's like, God's servant gave the analogy one time, like a lift. A lift is taking you up. Like, that's the same way that is. Sorry, that's the same way that is. Go.
We are literally chewing on the word.
Like, the law of your members is the law of sin. It's like gravity is holding you down. Like, and then you have the law of lift that will actually take you up. That's the same way, like, the law of the spirit, like you said.
Life,
so it's something that will actually help us fight against the law of gravity or the law of sin, in that sense.
We were all Adamic nature.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, we're all born into sin. So yeah, you will have the proclivity to sin. But as long as you allow Christ to be your life, then it's fine.
Mm. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Mm.
That's it.
So to go to your point about overcoming temptation, is like, you have to be 1,000 times bigger, but how you are is, as Nicole said, feeding on the word, prayer. Do you get what I mean? When you're actually praying and seeking the face of God, you actually, like, the power will come upon you. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Do you get
But you actually need for you to actually overcome sin is actually power that comes from on high. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? So one thing I would say to people is that the average millionaire says no 3 times before they say yeah. So you have to, like, if a millionaire that doesn't believe in Christ or whatever can say no so many times, why can't you?
Yeah.
Someone that's actually in Christ and the Spirit is actually in you. But you have to, the Spirit is actually in you there. It's laying dormant, but you have to unlock it. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? You have to trigger it. And how you trigger it is by being in your word, by praying, by doing spiritual activities. Because the more you're in carnality, like more worldly stuff, the more you'll be like them. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. But you have to do something that will actually edify your spirit and grow you. Something that will that will push you to be able to say no. Because I believe that, like, everyone comes to that point in their walk. They're like, nah, man, I've lost taste for this. I don't want to do this.
Oh, anymore. God, help us.
But, like, do you get what I'm trying to say? But then that's because Christ has actually been working in you. Mm. And you have the power to say no.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, so, you do.
So, yeah,
you
like, do. Temptation is not... Sorry. Temptation is in James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, whoever, like, overcomes temptation, there's a crown of life waiting for them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's like, there's actually a reward for you. One thing that helped me, like, overcome, I won't say like, oh, I've overcome temptation, because temptation comes, but how, like, you neutralize it. It's more like, one thing I've said to me, I said, like, there's actually, like, I believe, like, by the grace of God, there actually has to be something on me to do something great for God. Yeah. I must be that something in my family that actually does something great. Because although everyone in my family was actually, they believed in Christ, blah, 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 no one has gone to Zimbabwe to preach the word of God or gone to Saudi Arabia. Like, something, like, and no one's been like, whoa, like, this is someone, but I want to be that person. But how can I be that person if little things are troubling me? Because when you go to another country, it might be even worse. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's like, my thing that drives me is like, God, like, I actually want you to use me. I actually want you to do something. Like, I sometimes look at myself in the mirror, I get angry. Like, I want to do something. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But you can't do something if you're still behaving how you were behaving before. Back so then. You have
sorry.
To find...
Sorry,
First Peter
1:14.
He's
even whistling.
Oh, sorry, First Peter 1:13 says you should gird up the loins. Says, not returning to your former...
There must be a former.
But yeah, like, you have to find something that triggers you to, like,
have
that hunger.
What's like, your go?
I can't, like, I've actually,
I can't
come
disappoint
too far.
God, like
there is prophecy over me.
There is
sorry, Nick.
I'm just gonna say, linking to what you said, I think, and also thinking, like, being heavenly minded as well,
Colossians 3:2,
like, just set your mind on things above, not on the earth, because genuinely there's nothing that this earth can offer us, in all honesty. Seriously, as much as, like, when you're young, there's a lot to do, you know, but there's, who says you can't have fun in Christ, though? That's the problem.
We have fun, because
your idea of fun, you mean, Lord, Christ
what is your ideal fun? Yeah. It's fun going to the club. Is it drinking alcohol? Seriously, like, is that what your fun is? That's why you will say, coming into Christ, I have to stop that. I can't have fun. I'm restricted. Me, I have fun, because my idea of fun is way different to people in the world. That is because when you're talking about James, it's also in James, it talks about you're tempted by your own desires, like your lust. So,
and when temptation grows, it turns into sin. And sin, when it's fully developed, turns into death.
Thank you. Because the wages of sin is death. Thank you. Because honestly, you can't be tempted by something you don't desire. Like, Jeffrey now can have some egg and say, I don't like egg. You're telling me eat egg. Me, I don't like egg. I love egg crab. you can't be tempted by something you don't. So that's why the more of Christ you have in you, he changes your desires. Genuinely a thing for you to not fall into temptation is your desires. Your desires will change. Like, when you just desire God, it's like, you just don't, I'm not you thinking about care, the, man. I don't care, like, yeah, Burner Boy's coming. Me, I don't care. I won't be there. You know what I mean? Because my desires, I don't care.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just also going off the back of what Jeffrey said as well, and you just now, you mentioned about, like, having that like building your inner man basically. Mm. And what I thought about was like, if you're in a relationship with someone, for example, you won't, it will be very weird if you did things that they didn't like, if that makes sense. It's like, the more you talk to them, the more you know, okay, I know that this is what this person likes.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna do what they don't like. I'm gonna continue doing what they do like. You know what I mean? So it's like with Christ, it's like, the more you're spending time with him, the more you're gonna hear from him, the more you're gonna understand, you're studying his word, you're gonna understand what he likes and what he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually want to be a woman or man after his heart, genuinely you're gonna do things that he wants. And that means purging everything that is not of him out of you.
Yeah.
And that means actually understanding that, oh, okay, this is what you like, so I'm going to do this. You don't like me gossiping with this person, so I'm not going to do that because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's grieve the Holy Spirit. So tell us, what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Before we talk about grieve the Holy Spirit, just to add on to your point, it's like, when you're young, it's actually hard.
Yeah, for sure.
More than. It's very hard.
Oh, but it's hard because, like, you actually need to make sure, like, who you're around. Your company is actually, the company you keep.
What the time
will determine what company you keep. Yeah. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
May the Lord give you understanding. but what I'm trying to say is that, like, you can do all of that stuff, but, like, your desires will still kind of be inclined to worldly stuff like all your friends are worldly, if you don't,
right.
Because if you want to be a millionaire, you won't go to Peckham network in Peckham, you'll go network in Kensington Harrods. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? You go Chelsea.
Second Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says what the
we're light and dark and believers and don't have a common, like, what fellowship you have.
So that's like, if you're chilling with people that are like, not believe it, it's like, oh, wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're taking me somewhere else. If you're
chilling with like, a ton of unbelievers, which again, it's a process, you eventually,
my friend,
like, their taste won't be what you desire as well.
Yeah.
But when you're chilling with a ton of unbelievers, then what they're doing is, it will corrupt, bad company corrupts good character. Like,
it will have a toll on you, because what they're doing, now you're looking, you think about FOMOs, it's just like, your company is actually so key. So as much as you're building yourself up in your most holy faith, you're striving, you know, you're building your spirit man and et cetera, et cetera. You also need to mind your company. Yeah. You genuinely cannot be like, I'm praying every day, but your company's still the same. Why is it that you even still like have things in common with these worldly people? Why? Because you're different now. You guys are on a different journey that you don't
new
have.
New creation.
Genuinely, amen.
Yeah, you said something, that I was gonna
grieve the Holy Spirit.
No, it was before she said it before, but anyway, I was thinking about Proverbs, I think it's 1:22 that just goes on with it. Says, ones love your simplicity, for scorn is delight in their scorn, and a fool's hate knowledge. Hey. Just turn at my rebuke, surely I'll pray. Anyway, so it's just like, why would she call you simple? Like, because you desire the things of the world. He said, turn on my rebuke. Like, he'll pour his spirit on you. But
that's deep.
It's about actually, again, being obedient. Like, actually having obedience to say, okay, when God has actually called you, you should know he's called you.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do you actually want him? It's about if you actually turn away
it's
from
deep.
The things of this
that's
world.
That's actually very deep. Because it's so true. It's like, you don't want to come to Christ. You want to still be in the world. And like, but God is actually the creator of the world. Like, what do you think that the world can offer you that he cannot? The creator of the universe, yeah. Why is it that you think the world can offer you more than the creator himself? Like, it's just like we have such a thwarted, is that the word? Thwarted, is that a word? Thwarted.
This is a teacher, bro.
What are you saying?
Like a thwarted mindset.
That's the teacher, bro.
Hey, Nigeria.
What? That's Ghana, what?
Yeah, like you just have a thwarted mindset. Like, why? Just, my friend, just give your life to Christ.
A lot of these things that are being said, I don't know why I'm giving a lot of disclaimers, but it's like, it's not to necessarily discourage someone, but it's like, I've been there, like,
yeah, man,
like,
yeah,
bro, like, I've just like, I'll say I want this, then I'm doing, like, I'm just like, there's been times I've done something, I'm just like,
What are you doing?
Why did I do that? That's what we're here to say, because we've actually been through it. So everything we say is not like, no, but you don't get me. No, we overstand. Like, do you know what I mean?
That's why for me, not being on social media for the first quarter of this year was important. Because it's like, not necessarily like anything mad will happen, but I needed that consecration to carry me for the rest of the year.
Come on now.
So it's like, I needed to just be away, just like, I'm just focusing, I'm just, you know what, then I'll come back. Now I'm back, by the grace of God. But,
hallelujah.
But yeah, like, I've just...
No
like,
commercial break.
I've just, yeah, like, being consecration is hard, but you have to, I'll be honest, with this whole being young and being in Christ, the whole thing, you have to learn how to say no.
Yeah.
Control your, I'm telling you, control yourself. Like, we just have to control ourselves. And it's easier said than done. Yes, yes.
Self-control.
Because, yeah, self-control. But that's a fruit of the spirit. So even, what? You need the spirit. Even, no, honestly, so yeah.
Even, don't think that like, temptation is something that's like, well, why am I getting tempted? I mean, Christ, like, it's going to happen. Jesus was tempted. He was taken to the wilderness.
Yeah, without sin.
By the spirit. It is written. To be tempted.
Kaya, what word do you have? Yeah. What word can you actually say?
To be to be tempted. For me, like, when I first read that, Matthew 4, just read the whole thing, I was thinking like, right, this is the blueprint for when you're tempted. Like,
yeah.
Scripture. The like, devil is tempting Jesus. Jesus didn't rebuke this. No, he just came up with words.
Yeah, it is written.
You need to have it is written.
In watch it. What super
you
book?
You have to know word. Your word, like,
it's so, very
and
true.
Again, that comes with the process. You being in God's house, you actually
desiring
God's
house. And being around people
that will, they'll edify you. Honestly, if you don't have a word, that's when you'll fall. Because, that's deep. Like, he never said, I rebuke you. Like, Jesus is Jesus, my friend.
He can do it if
rebuke
you
and you're God. He said, it is written. Many times he said, okay, do this. Okay, do this. Oh, I'm going to take you up. I'll give you all this if you bow down. It is written.
This one is just
because you had something in you, substance, like, you genuinely need a word. When you're faced with temptation, it takes the word that you know that will actually keep you.
The Bible even says, woe is he who falls and has no one to pick him up.
Tight.
So being around people that are on the same like wavelength.
Yeah, help you.
It's very much important because, you can't do this by yourself.
At all.
Otherwise, Jesus would have just picked one disciple.
Did you get it? That was 12. Yeah, or he would have done it just with no one.
It says where two or three gather in my name, there I am. It doesn't mean that he's not there when you're alone, but it's like there's something about gathering.
About the gathering.
In Acts, it says when they gathered room,
and they prayed.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So even when Philip went to Samaria to bring revival, in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, it says the multitudes of one accord heeded the things spoken and hearing and seeing. So it's like there's something about the gathering of people, like, being in one accord.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So being around people, iron sharpeneth iron. How can you be sharpened if there's no one there to,
there's
like,
no one.
Do you get what I mean?
It's very true. That's why, honestly, to wrap up.
Oh.
Okay, you go.
So even like, 1 Corinthians 3:10, it speaks to 13, it speaks about how you should take heed how you build, like.
Yeah.
Paul said, like, he's a wise master builder. He took heed. So taking heed how you build is actually, like, the foundations that you're building upon, like.
Mm-hmm.
How are you building in a way that's going to sustain you when that storm comes, when that temptation comes, like.
Yes.
Because it's hard. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy at all, but.
But nothing worth it in life build, is, like,
Yeah.
It's honestly, so to wrap up, sorry. I don't know.
Sorry. Oh.
No, go ahead, say Alex.
Sorry, just to say the last thing, I think it's 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, do not let anyone despise your youth, but be an example to believers in conduct, faith, purity, love. It's the whole shebang, honestly.
Whole shebang.
Just wanted to say that, the last thing, because you know, when you're a Christian and you're young, I think it's hard to believe that people are actually looking at you.
Yeah.
People actually watch you.
Yeah.
Even people that are older than you, I'm not even joking, like, genuinely, you will never know who's actually watching you. So I think it's so important to actually be strong in the faith, like, actually understand that, you know what, my conduct matters.
Like,
you can be going through something and you're with someone and it's like, even be an example in your faith. That means actually remembering what you are saying, like, something has happened or to someone that you're with and they're like losing it, but you are with them. Be an example in faith.
Yes.
That means, like, actually, you know what? Let's stand on a word, sis. Yeah. Let's stand on a word, bro. Like, no, we're in this together. Do you know what I mean?
Amen.
So if they're crying, they're crumbling, you're not crumbling. Do you know what I mean? You're an example. So you're being a Barnabas, son of encouragement.
Last thing. I know we were meant to wrap it up, but what you said, like, she struck a nerve on my inside. Like, she said something like, be an example, holding on to a word. Like, even the 2 weeks ago, I sat an exam. I'm undergoing some qualifications at the moment. So I sat an exam in it and I failed the exam by like 3 marks in it.
God help us.
I can't lie. And I had service like a couple hours later. My whole equilibrium, bro. I was, my head was gone. Like, I wasn't here. I was just thinking like, what? Like, what's going on, blah, blah. Mm. And then even, like, I didn't tell my mum in it, but she knew I had an exam, but she didn't know that I already jammed in it. And then she said, like, don't worry, like, the God that you serve will like, remember, you can't serve like this and then not be anything. Then I was like, cool. Then I heard one scripture, Psalms 1 verse 3. It says, you'll be like a tree planted by the river. And then the bottom, it says, whatever you do shall prosper. I was like, you know what, whatever I do, it will prosper.
Amen.
And then by God's grace, I passed. But hallelujah. It's actually being like, you know what, going there with confidence. Do you know what I mean? Having like faith. So if you have to actually have faith in the word of God. Because just because it was written how many years ago, it's applicable every single day in any situation. But you have to hold this same God yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's my foundation.
But yeah, man, yeah.
Yeah, genuinely, like, to wrap up, guys, because we actually ran out of time. Being young and in Christ, yeah, it's not easy
at all.
But when you have, when you put things in place, you have boundaries, you have friends in Christ, you're genuinely in a Bible believing church, like, you're reading your Bible, like, it gets easier. Do you know what I mean? And we're only four examples of many people that are young, and they hopefully can't hear my belly. We're literally just for an example of, but there's many people that are young in Christ and thriving by the grace of God. It takes you just relying on God. Like, yes, the world can be enticing, but genuinely giving your life to Christ, it sets you up. You know, I was young and I was old, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or the seed break for bread. What you're doing now will not only be a blessing to you, but the children that are yet to come, generations that are yet to come.
Ooh, Psalm 37, like, 25.
Amen. So we just have to continue tarrying and believing God will grant us grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But yeah, I hope this has edified someone that may be young and in Christ watching this. Like, you know what? It's hard for me to let go of this, or it's hard for me to just get Christ. That's all you need. Don't think about, I can't let this in. So even if you're listening to this today and you don't have Christ, you actually may have listened to this, say, okay, wow. At the beginning, they was talking about how they actually came to Christ. They realized that they had this, they had all the money, but they weren't happy. So if you're watching this today and, you know, you're one like that, that, okay, maybe you have everything, but you realize that you don't have peace, you don't have joy, and you want to give your life to Christ today. Being born again is accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. It's believing in your heart, confessing your mouth that he died, was buried, rose again for your sins just to save you. So if you're one that wants to have that confession today, then repeat after our brother John. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come before you today.
As a sinner.
Lord.
I believe
that you died,
on
the cross.
On the cross.
And on the third day.
And on the third day.
You rose again. That I may have eternal life.
Lord.
Come into my heart.
And be my Lord.
And personal Savior. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to pray for those ones who have given their life to you today. Father, Lord, we just want to pray that they'll never put their hand to the plow and look back.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will grant them the grace. Your word says that your grace is sufficient for them, Heavenly Father. Grant them the grace to actually live a life that is pleasing to you, Heavenly Father, to live a life of consecration, Heavenly Father, to live a life, oh God, according to your will for them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that you will grant them the grace to never look back, Heavenly Father, not to be like Lot's wife, oh God. Lord, we just want to thank you, Heavenly Father,
Lord.
Indeed, fill them up with your spirit, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So congratulations. If you've given your life to Christ, please do DM me. My Instagram is dd.k. Amen. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we are out.
You qualify.
Which camera am I looking at?
No.
You qualify.